Second question tonight, and final question. What happens to people who have never heard of Jesus? Are they really lost forever? This is a very good question. Because, you know, sometimes people think, well, you know, the only way into heaven is through Jesus, as I said before. But what about people that have never ever heard of Jesus? Are they going to get to judgment day only to have Jesus say, I'm sorry, the only way into heaven is by accepting me? Oh, but I'd never heard of you. Well, it's not my problem. Is that right? Is that fair? Let's answer this question. Romans chapter 10. Let's turn there together. That'll come out really good on television. Romans chapter 10. Let's turn there. Verses 13 to 15. Romans 10, 13. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Verse 14. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now stay in the book of Romans because we'll be turning to another couple of passages there very, very shortly. Let's have a look at this passage of Scripture. It starts off with a great statement. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. We have to understand this. The Christian message is very, very simple. The Christian gospel is so simple, children can understand it. Our eldest gave her life to Jesus 2 years ago when she was 4. The Lord said to us one day very clearly to Christy and myself, Georgia Grace is ready to give her life to me. Lead her to me right now. We felt that overwhelming sense in our spirit. We were in America at the time. And so we sat down with her and we just very quickly explained the way of salvation to her. And we said to her, do you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And she said, yes, I would love to. And so we led her in a prayer right then. And she called on the name of the Lord. And right at that moment, she was saved. So simple. All you have to do to be saved is to call on the name of the Lord. That word call there means to ask for help. It also means to make a decision for. Both of those are a wonderful description of what happens when we come to Jesus Christ. We realize that we need a Savior and we ask Him for help. There is no other Savior other than Jesus. The Bible says there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so we call on the name of Jesus. We ask Him for help. We realize that we are sinners, that we fall short of the standard of God. We realize that we are lost without Him. And so we hear about Jesus and we call upon Him. We ask Him for help. And we also make a decision for Him. We make a decision, just like I said a moment ago. Jesus, I make a decision for you right now that I am going to live for you for the rest of my life and I'm going to be with you for eternity. But then Paul asks a number of questions, which are good questions. They're logical and they follow a progression of thought. Question number one, how can they call on the one they have not believed in? That makes sense. Someone hasn't believed in Jesus. How can they call on Him? Question number two, how can they believe in the one of whom they haven't heard? That addresses this question tonight. If someone hasn't heard about Jesus, how can they call on Him for salvation? How can they ask Him for help? How can they make a decision for Jesus? Question number three, how can they hear without someone preaching to them, telling them about Jesus, telling them about the gospel? And how can they preach unless they are sent? I want to ask and answer a couple of questions in this regard. And question number one is, what about those who haven't heard of Jesus? Will God send them to hell for not accepting the Savior that they have never heard of? This is a good question, and the answer is a resounding no. God will not send someone to hell for rejecting Jesus that they had never heard of, because that would not be righteous. One of the greatest statements about God in the Scriptures is in Genesis 18 and verse 25, where Abraham asks this question, will not the judge of all the earth do right? And the answer to that question is a resounding yes. I'm glad about that. He is the judge of all the earth and He will do what is right. It would not be right, it would not be righteous for people who had never heard of Jesus, never had the possibility of responding to the gospel, to stand before Jesus on judgment day only to hear the words, "You didn't accept me, therefore go to a lost eternity." "But Jesus, we never heard of you. If we'd heard of you, we would have accepted you." "Oh, I'm sorry. Too bad. You lose. Off you go. Lost eternity. Next, please." That's not the way it's going to work. That would not be righteous. God will not reject people for not accepting Jesus if they've never heard of him. He is a righteous judge. Question two that springs from this is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says that people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment. In other words, every person on the face of this earth who has lived, is living, ever will live, is going to die and is going to face judgment. And so on what basis will God judge people who have never heard of Jesus? And this is where the rubber really hits the road. And so people that have never ever heard of Jesus Christ are going to be judged, but on what basis are they going to be judged? He will judge people on the knowledge they possess. And that falls into two areas. First of all, knowledge of God's existence by creation. Now, you're in the book of Romans. Go back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Judged on the knowledge of God's existence by his creation. Romans 1 and verses 19 and 20. "Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." See, God's invisible. The Bible says that no one has ever seen God and lived. No one here has ever seen God. No one listening to this message in any shape or form has ever seen God, and yet you can see God's invisible qualities by the things that are visible, in other words, his creation. Someone living in another country where the gospel has not been proclaimed yet can still live up to the knowledge that they possess. It's right at their fingertips. All they need to do is look beyond them and around them, and they can see the creation of God. And the Bible says that they can know that there is a God because of the things that have been made. Now, I know that there are those who have various theories about the earth on which we live, that it started from a big bang or whatever the case might be. I have no problem with any of that in any shape or form, because ultimately, wherever you trace things back to, it's got to come back to a creator in some way or another. Who set the bang off, if it was a big bang? I'm not saying it was, but I'm just, you know, following their line of reasoning. I believe the creation story, personally. It's a whole lot simpler to believe Genesis chapter 1. But if it was a big bang, who set the big bang off? And since when did you ever see order created through an explosion? That's so bizarre. Winky Pratney, the New Zealand evangelist, said to believe that this all came out of a big bang is about as ridiculous as it is to say that blowing up a printing press would give you a dictionary. It's a great statement. An explosion. Well, who made all the stuff anyway in the first place? All of the elements that we see around us. Ultimately, you've got to believe that all of this came into being through an intelligent mind. You don't get order out of chaos. Something had to start all of this off. And the Bible is here saying that we can see the invisible qualities of God through the things that are seen. And I think that's wonderful. If someone is living in a country where there is no declaration of the gospel, and even people living in Australia, we've got to understand this, there are people living in Australia who have never heard about Jesus Christ. Some people have only ever heard the name Jesus in a swear word on a movie. They haven't understood who he is and what he's done for them. But if they open their eyes and they look around them, they can go, wow, there's got to be more to life than just this. There is creation, there is beauty, there is order, There are laws in operation. This stuff doesn't happen by random chance. We are not just monkeys who became lucky. There is a whole lot more to it than that. And if they open their minds to it, they can know that there is a God because of the things that they're created, that are created. And on that day, they can believe in God and God will reveal himself to them. I heard about a great story of Albert Einstein quite a number of years ago. He was a believer in Jesus Christ, incidentally. And he had a friend who was a skeptic. And so Albert Einstein, brilliant man, decided to show this skeptic who didn't believe in God and believed that we were just the product of random chance and we were just kind of lucky that all this just kind of happened out of some explosion so many billion years ago. And so to set this man right, Albert Einstein made a perfect working model of our solar system. And his skeptic friend came round one day and Albert Einstein had set this model up. It was magnificent, you know, the Earth, all the planets revolving around the sun, the moons around the planets, and so on and so forth. And his skeptic friend looked at that and said, "Wow, that's absolutely amazing. Who made it?" And Einstein said, "Nobody." And he showed him the ridiculousness of looking at this world and going, "Huh, nobody made it." He didn't believe no one made that model. Of course someone made the model. Einstein did. Of course someone made this universe. God did. And you can be in a country where you can't hear about Jesus, but you can look beyond your nose and know that there's a God because of the things that have been made. And the second truth that people need to live up to is the knowledge of right and wrong by their conscience. Go to Romans chapter 2. And verses 14 to 16. Romans chapter 2 and verse 14. "Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves. Even though they do not have the law, since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. This will take place on the day when God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares." People have an inbuilt knowledge, whether they know God or not. Whether they've heard of Jesus or not, there is the law of God written on the human heart. Why do you think it is, even in a country like Australia, where the majority of people do not live and practice as Christians, as people who believe in Jesus Christ? I know a lot of people, most of the people in Australia, probably about 70%, class themselves as Christian. But we realize by our society around us that the majority of those people don't live up to their confession of believing in Jesus Christ. But people in our society, they know what's right and they know what's wrong. People in other countries, maybe where the gospel is not proclaimed, they still know what's right and they know what's wrong, and they demonstrate that God has created them and written the law of God on their heart. We all have a moral conscience. We know it's right to do certain things. We know intrinsically that it is not right to take another person's life. We know that it's not right to steal, even though some people do it, but they know it's wrong. And they know that if they get caught, they will be judged and sentenced and have to serve time or pay a fine or whatever, because there is something in the human heart that knows the difference between right and wrong. It points to the fact that there is a creator, that there is a God. And people need to live up to the truth that they possess. And so when people do live up to the truth that they possess, God will do everything in his power to reveal himself to them. One of my favorite stories in the Word of God is in Acts chapter 10. It talks about a man called Cornelius, and it describes him as a devout man, a God-fearing man, a man who prayed, and a man who was generous. The problem, though, was that Cornelius had never ever heard of Jesus Christ. He didn't know the way of salvation. He would pray regularly. He was living up to the truth that he possessed. He realized that there was a God and he prayed to this God. He realized there was a God, and so he gave generously to people who were in need. And the Bible tells us that his prayers and his generosity came up as a memorial before God. God saw a man who had a heart after him, and so God moved heaven and earth to reveal Jesus to this man. The story unfolds in Acts chapter 10 so that Cornelius was praying one day and he had an angelic visitation, and the angel said, "Send for Peter, who's staying with a man called Simon the Tanner," gave him details of where this Peter was staying, so on and so forth. And so Cornelius sent a group of men off to find Simon Peter. As these men were approaching the place where Peter was staying, Peter went up onto the rooftop to pray. The people in the house were getting the meal ready. And Peter, the Bible says, was hungry. And he was sitting up there on the rooftop praying. They had flat roofs in that part of the world, still do in many parts of the world today. And he was sitting on this roof praying, feeling hungry, and God gave him a vision of food. Only problem was the vision was all unclean foods, foods that a good Jewish man would never partake of. The Bible says it was like a huge sheet suspended by the four corners, and the sheet came down and it was loaded with all of the unclean animals listed in the Old Testament. And the voice of God came to Peter. He said, "Arise, kill and eat." And Peter's response was, "I've never touched anything unclean." The sheet was lifted up. And then the vision was repeated a second time and then a third time. And then right at the time that the third time that Peter said, "No, I've never eaten anything unclean," God said to him, "Don't call unclean what I have called clean." At that moment, there was a call from the front gate. "I'm looking for Simon Peter." And the people called Peter, and Peter came down and chatted with these guys. These guys were Gentiles, of course, and they realized because of Jewish law that they weren't actually allowed to enter into a Jewish home. And so they stood at the gate and just called out, and Peter went out to them. And they told Peter what had taken place about Cornelius, their master, and how he'd had this vision. And they'd been sent by God to go and get Peter and to bring him up to their place. And so Simon Peter invited them in, which was going against all Jewish law. They stayed the night, they had food, and the next day Peter set out with these guys and went up to Caesarea and went into Cornelius's house. I'll get the story right. And so he went into Cornelius's house. In the meantime, Cornelius had invited all of his friends and all of his family. There was this big company of people. And Peter walks in and goes, "Oh my goodness, I'm not even supposed to be in a Gentile's house. And yet God showed me in vision form yesterday that I'm not to call anything unclean that he has called clean. And so I have come here today. What do you want?" And Cornelius tells him about the vision that he'd had. And so Peter then stands up and proclaims the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while he is preaching, the Bible says, they must have all accepted Jesus in their heart because the power of God just fell on them and they all started to speak in tongues and to prophesy as the Holy Spirit came upon them. What a sensational story. And that's the thing. Anyone who hasn't heard of Jesus, if they live up to the truth that is obvious to them, that there is a God, and that they have a conscience and they know what's right and what's wrong, if they call out to the Lord, God will show them clearly the way of salvation. The problem is that most people do not seek after God, even though he has revealed himself to them through creation and through conscience. And so the necessity and the urgency of Christians to share the good news about salvation through Jesus with those who have never heard of him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. You, as the people of God, have good news. How beautiful are your feet. And it's not talking about what your feet look like, because if they were beautiful, you wouldn't have socks and shoes on. What it's talking about is wherever you lay your feet. When you go and share good news with people who don't know about Jesus, your footprints are beautiful. Your feet are beautiful. You're going there to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we as Christian people, we have a message like no other. We have a message of life. We have a message of blessing. We have a message of forgiveness. We have the greatest story never told.
rarely told, because people need to share it. Each and every one of us need to share that message. Don't sit back and go, oh, well, they're not going to be lost because, well, they can live up to the knowledge that they've got. You know, they just open their eyes, they'll see that God exists by creation. If they'll just live up to their conscience. No, most people actually don't end up doing that and calling out to God. And so we have a responsibility of the people of God to share Jesus Christ with those who don't know him. And as I said before, and I'll just finish with this, don't presume that everybody in Australia knows about Jesus Christ. A couple of years ago, Christy and I went down to some of the shops in Frankston, actually. We were looking for a couple of things. This was on Boxing Day, day after Christmas. And we were looking for a couple of things for the following Christmas. In fact, I think it was the bonbons, the Christmas crackers for the following Christmas lunch. We used to buy them on Boxing Day so you can get them half price, and we just store them. And we went into Meijer in Frankston, and there was a young guy that was serving there, and we went up to him. And we also wanted to get a nativity scene. And we said to him, so we're looking for a nativity scene. He said, what's that? This is Boxing Day, day after Christmas. And we said, you know, all about like Christmas, you know, the Christmas story, Jesus and Mary and Joseph. And he just looked blankly at us and he said, no, I've never heard about that before. Right here in the middle of Australia, people don't know about Jesus. A friend of ours with a young son went along to a church for a christening. And halfway through the priest's message, the little boy said to his mum, how come the priest keeps swearing? Because the priest was using the name of Jesus. The little boy thought that it was a swear word. There are people in Australia who don't know about Jesus. And that's why as a church we put on things like Life Interrupted. There are opportunities for you to connect your friends, your family, acquaintances, and people that you just happen to meet with the church and with the gospel, so that they can hear about Jesus, so they can call on the name of the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for answers to searching questions. We thank you, Lord God, for Jesus Christ. We know, Lord, that entrance into the kingdom of heaven is not by anything we've done, that on that day, Lord God, we're not going to stand before you and say, well, I need to come into heaven because I've prophesied, because I've cast out demons, because I've worked miracles, because I've given to the poor, because I've done anything. But Lord God, we have entrance into the kingdom of heaven because of what you have done for us. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you didn't stay in heaven, but you left the comfort and the glory, and you came to earth, that you were born as one of us, that you lived amongst people, and that you died on a cross to pay the death penalty of sin for us. That everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord can now be saved. We thank you for a great salvation.